Welcome back to the Iowa Blog. I am your host, Craig Wynn. We are investigating the most beautiful, the most inspiring, the most uplifting and liberating, enriching song ever written. It is called Dode Song. It is the 89th Mizmor. It is a ode to the most beloved of the creator God of the universe, his son, our Messiah, Dode. I'd like to pick up where we left off on our last program on part one of what will be a multi-part series on the 89th Mizmor. The text reads, I have established cutting through separation, the Bereth covenant, for the family and home through my Bashar chosen one. I have sworn an oath and will affirm this promise seven times over to Dode. My Ebed, authorized agent and co-worker who serves on my behalf. Now, why we read in the second Mizmor that Dode is the son of God. God very clearly inspired the words, I will bring him forth as my son, and I am his father. In that second Mizmor, the opening stanza speaks of Yahweh and of his Mashiach Messiah. It is as clear as words could possibly allow that Dode is the son of God and the Messiah. And therefore, the Christian myth of Jesus Christ is nothing but a crude counterfeit. And the myth that so tragically began rabbinical Judaism with Akiba foisting another false Messiah on the world with Bar Kokhba is just another crude, dastardly, and debilitating counterfeit, because so many people believe the lie and so few people know the truth. And it is only through the truth that we have any chance of developing a relationship with Yahweh. And so this statement is equally profound. It says that Yahweh has established, he has cut the covenant. He has brought the covenant into existence through his chosen one. So God chose through whom he would work to establish the covenant. Now, most people think, oh, well, the covenant that was established through Abraham, that new covenant, well, that was established through that, well, that Jesus Christ fellow, bull. Now, it is true that Yahweh revealed the terms and conditions of the covenant to Abraham, and through Abraham to us, because they were memorialized in the Torah that Yahweh inspired Moshe to write. And therefore, all five conditions of the covenant, all five benefits, the condition that we walk away from Babel, from this intermixing of religion and politics that are designed to confuse and confound people, from the culture of man and from our father's home. That we walk away from those things, that we walk to Yahweh and allow him to perfect us. That path being through the Moed Mikre, particularly Pesach and Matzah leading to Bikurim, firstborn children. That we trust and rely upon Yahweh rather than our government, rather than our religion. And to trust and rely upon Yahweh, of course, we need to know who he is and what he is offering. And then he asks that we closely examine and carefully consider the terms and conditions of this very covenant. Then the fifth condition is that we circumcise our sons on the eighth day so that we remember to raise them to be part of God's family. This is why Karat cut the covenant into existence through his chosen one is written that way with Karat, just as circumcision becomes the sign of the covenant. And so God is saying here that he established his covenant through Dode. So he gave us the terms and conditions through Abraham, and I just shared the conditions. The benefits happened to be eternal life, which is delivered through Dode's fulfillment of Pesach Passover, that God will perfect us, and that happens on Matzah when Dode's soul carried our guilt into Sheol to deposit it there and never to be seen again, making us look perfect in Yahweh's eyes, to adopt us as his children, which occurs by Dod then fulfilling firstborn children, Bukurim, the following day, so that God can enrich us and empower us, which are all part of the benefits, not only of Bukurim, but also of the Shavua harvest. Therefore, these are the five conditions. These are the five benefits of the covenant. They were all articulated by Yahweh to Abraham. And therefore, he is this conversation, this narrative that God has with Abraham, delineate the means to participate in the covenant, but to actually establish the covenant so that all of us can benefit from it. That was done through Yahweh's chosen one, who he has just identified as Dod David. So the very covenant that exists between God and man, this ability to be part of God's eternal family, is brought to us collaboratively by Yahweh and Dod. That is what God just said. That is so, though, unknown, unheralded. Until this moment, no one recognized this profound truth. I think it is the greatest discovery in human history, and yet here it was, right out in the open for us to grasp, and yet not one of Yahweh's chosen people understood it. Not a single religious person has ever grasped hold of this truth, even though they carry around this song in their Bibles. God just said, and no uncertain terms, I established my covenant relationship through my chosen one, through the one that I chose to work with, and his name is Dod. My sworn oath, my commitment, he says, is to Dod, because Dod was God's authorized agent. He is the one through whom Yahweh collaborated to provide the benefits of the covenant: eternal life, perfection, adoption, enrichment, and empowerment. All of those things came by way of Dod. That means that there's not a rabbi on earth that delivered any of these benefits, not one. There's not a single line in the Talmud that is even worth the time to read it. This means that all of the rituals, all of the edicts, all of the laws of rabbinic Judaism are worthless. If you want to be part of God's family, whether you be Yehudim or Goyim, the means to that is what Yahweh accomplished through his chosen one, his co-worker, whose name is Dod, which has been corrupted to David, who in the previous psalm, the second psalm, we discovered is the Son of God and the Messiah, which means that Christian myth of Jesus Christ is nothing but a ridiculous, embarrassing, foolhardy counterfeit. There was no Jesus Christ. The whole myth is based upon robbing Dod of what God said about him and what they accomplished together. This is the most profound truth in the universe. Once you embrace it, once you understand it, then you can appreciate what God is trying to offer through his covenant and how you can capitalize on it and therefore become immortal, therefore become perfected before God, therefore become part of his eternal family and inheriting all that he has to offer, enriched, empowered, enlightened, emancipated, ability to own huge swaths of the universe, and travel throughout time to galaxies far, far away. This all took place because of Yahweh's love affair and his collaborative work with Dod, who was his authorized agent and co-worker. This is my message. This is Yahweh's message. I serve as his Bashar herald. I am the coal voice of the Almighty. My mission is defined as the Choder, this branch off of the Tree of Lives, this very representation of the branches of the Tree of the Knowledge of Good and Evil, so that you might know the truth and so that you might embrace Yahweh, recognize and accept his name. Then know and respond to those five conditions of the covenant so that you, by way of the Moed Mikre and Dode's fulfillment of them, receive all of these benefits. That is the message of Yahweh's most important story and of the person that he most loved, the one man that he chose to accomplish all of this through. Nowhere else on earth will you hear this, and yet it's the single most important message ever conveyed to humankind. By stating La Bashar Ani, my chosen one, Yahweh has affirmed the paramount importance of free will. He has also confirmed that it works both ways. God can choose to include or exclude whomever he wishes within his family, just as we are free to express our desire to be adopted therein. In harmony with this paradigm, our Heavenly Father is reinforcing something about the covenant relationship and life with him, participation in heaven, that I have long known but very few people appreciate. In most every case, God initiates contact by choosing the individuals he wants to be part of his family. One way or another, Yahweh reaches out to individuals along life's way and introduces himself. How we respond and how we reciprocate determines our future. And if you want to know what qualities God most enjoys in us, what attributes and attitudes he finds the most appealing, then do as I have done. Study every word that came from the pen of his beloved son, Dode, his chosen implement. Read everything about this man and come to appreciate what made him so unique. The fact that he was so courageous, he was so bold, moral, articulate, brilliant, a thoughtful and dedicated student who became one of the world's great teachers. This is Dode. Since we know that Dode, when Yahweh introduces us to him, was off tending sheep in Bethlehem, a long way away from where this conversation that introduces us to him was occurring, and that he walked to Shamuel when he was called, that means that he had left his father's house, just as Abraham had walked away from the cultural, religious, political milieu of Babylon. Therefore, those seeking an introduction should know and be aware. We can confidently extrapolate from Dode, from Abraham, even from Moshe, especially from Moshe, what must occur before God will introduce himself to us. It's the same thing that happened with me. Abraham had walked away from Babel before Yahweh introduced himself to he and Sarah. Noach, who preceded them, had walked away from the community that he was part of. He had nothing to do with them. He was not interested in their politics and their religion and their culture. He and his family were set apart when Yahweh reached out to him. It is always the case. Look at Moshe. Moshe was brought into the very household of Pharaoh. And yet he recognized that it was evil, that the religion and the politics and the caste economic system of Egypt and its militancy was wrong. And when he stood up against it, he found that even those that he tried to defend didn't appreciate him. That's how rotten that culture became. And so he walked away. He was out tending sheep in Arabia, a very long way from Mitzrayim, Egypt. This is a consistent theme. We find it true again with Dode. Dode was in Bethlehem, alt tending sheep. He wanted nothing to do with the politics and the religion circulating around his father, who was very much a lost soul. And so there we have it. One of the more profound insights is that rather than religion taking one to God, rather than politics and patriotism being a good thing that is something that is perceived to be godly, they are just the opposite. Religions are like spokes on a wheel, and centrifugal force, everyone that is part of a religion flies away from the center of the universe, which is where God is. So be aware. If you are religious, you're estranged from God, and the more religious you become, the further from God you are. And that doesn't matter what religion. They're all the same in that regard. And if you're political, God has nothing to do with you. You must forego politics and religion. Now, you can speak out against them because God does. You can condemn those who are misleading people through them because God does. You can do anything that God does and know that you're on solid footing. You can do anything that Dode does for the most part and know that you're on solid footing. Dode is the living, the living embodiment of the covenant. You want to understand what the covenant relationship is about, this father and child relationship of God enriching and empowering us, inspiring us, liberating us, making it possible for us to be even more than we've ever dreamed of achieving. Look at the relationship between Yahweh and Dode. That is the covenant relationship. And the beauty of it is Dode wasn't perfect. Dode has even admitted, I have more flaws than I have hairs on my head, he said. And the beauty of that is God's not expecting us to be perfect. He just wants us to be real, to be willing to invest the time, to know the truth, to go where his words lead, to respect him, to know his name, to respond to him when he calls, to attend the invitations that he has made available to us for our benefit, to read his testimony, to think about it, to come to understand it and then share it. These are the things that Dode did. And it was through the very process that he and Yahweh fulfilled together by him becoming in his second life the Passover lamb, his corporeal body serving as the Lamb of God, his nephesh soul taking our guilt with him into Sheol to deposit it there and a black hole never to be seen again. And then he being escorted out of Sheol by the set apart spirit, being brought back home to Yahweh on Bukurim, where the firstborn son became the firstborn of the covenant family, making it possible for us to share in these same benefits. This is how they collaborated together to make the benefits of this covenant possible and for us to understand it. There is no greater truth. There's no greater insight. There's no greater treasure. There's no greater discovery than this. Well, this same covenant with the same conditions and benefits that Yahweh presented in Bereshith Genesis, devoting much of the text, I mean, the preponderance of Bereshith Genesis is on the instructive conditions and the eternal benefits of being part of the covenant family. And in it, you know, he is sharing with Abraham and Sarah initially, then Yishak after he is born, then with Yishak's son, Jacob, and then Jacob's sons, the 12 tribes of Israel. All the way through, Yahweh is codifying, he is explaining, he is offering, he is affirming his one and only covenant relationship. This covenant relationship was made possible through his collaboration with Dode, which means there can be no new covenant with a mythical counterfeit like Jesus Christ. It does not exist. You can throw the New Testament away. There is nothing in it that is even the least bit worthwhile. If it were all trashed so that you could wipe it from your memory and then start anew with the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, you would be vastly better off than knowing any of it. And I can help you do that through reading Twistianity, the 5 volumes. It's the same covenant that Yahweh codified, designating his stipulations and his allowances in his Torah as he conveyed all of this to Moshe for our benefit so that we would know it. It's the same covenant that was affirmed with Jacob. Therefore, our Heavenly Father is acknowledging that Dod holds a special place within his family. Through this affirmation, Yahweh is revealing that Dod personifies the qualities that he values. God's not looking for perfection. What he's looking for is passion, for enthusiasm, for commitment, to be reliable, to be trustworthy. You know, for the last 23 years, I get up before the sun. I go into my study and I try to make a contribution to help others understand who Yahweh is, what he is offering, and what he expects in return. I've come to realize that with the 35 books on the shelf at yadayah.com, all free, that since most people are unwilling to take the time to read today, that I'll read them to you. I'll come right into your home, into your lives, and read them to you because I want you to know this. I want those who are receptive, those who are not corrupted beyond hope by religion and politics, who are willing to disregard those things, to erase their corruption from their lives, who are willing to come to listen to what Father and Son have to say and what they have done to benefit from their message and from their actions, which is why I bring these programs to you. More than even this, it is Yahweh's universe, and the heavens are his as well. He is not only entitled to choose who lives with him in them, he has chosen the person through whom our inclusion is made possible. What this means for us is that we are not free to replace his choice with another, as in Jesus, or pretend that there is another gatekeeper, as is the case with Judaism or with Catholicism. Yahweh's declaration eliminates the possibility that he has any association with any religion. He did not choose any of the individuals responsible for these religious deceptions, which may be why they fail to acknowledge Yahweh's name and Dod's contributions. Man's plans and God's plans. Man's lead to death. God's lead to life. If we want to be part of Yahweh's covenant, we do so through Dod, or not at all. And that is as monumental a pronouncement as was the creation of the universe. If we want to be part of Yahweh's covenant family, if we want to meet with him, to live with him, to enter heaven, we want to leave this planet alive with the capacity to travel through the universe and through time and space. If we want to be happily ever after, it is through the collaborative effort of Yahweh and Dod, or not at all. And their mightiest collaboration, the making all this possible, is when Dod volunteered and Yahweh allowed, even supported his son's decision to serve as the Passover lamb and then have his soul carry our guilt into Sheol on matzah so that we could be part of this covenant family on Bukurim, signing our adoption papers. It's fairly uncommon, actually, for God to swear an oath to men. So when he says, Shabbadod, I have sworn an oath and I will affirm this promise seven times over with Dod. Well, it's in our interest to pay attention so that we come to understand the dynamics behind God's calculus and we benefit accordingly. And why would God reveal in this psalm that he has sworn an oath to Dod? If it isn't important for us to know, if it was just important for Dod to know, he would have told Dod personally. There is no reason for us to know that God chose Dod, that God refers to Dod as the Messiah and his son, that Yahweh cut the covenant, brought it into existence with Dod, and that this promise between this collaboration, this Abed, this working together with Dod is central, is paramount to us entering heaven. If he didn't want us to know it, we must sometimes just take a step back and say, whoa, God just made a promise to Dod and told us about it after telling us that he was his chosen one through whom he was going to establish the covenant and that they would work together in this regard and that this is the source of Yahweh's mercy and compassion and generosity. Don't you think that's stop everything kind of material? Think it through. Glean as much as you can from this. This is testimony from the creator God of the universe. Testimony he proves. You know, we read the second Mizmor. The second Mizmor from beginning to end is prophetic. It's speaking of the mess that we're witnessing today. The rebellion in the streets where libertards and Muslims are trying to terrorize the world into submission, into capitulation. He spoke directly of this. And of the only remedy for it. Therefore, we can trust what he says because of what they have done. So this is so uncommon for God to have sworn a promise to anyone, and in this case to Dod. We need to pay attention. We need to understand the dynamics behind it. For example, our acceptance of the covenant's terms will lead to its benefits because they were established by Yahweh working through Dod to fulfill the Moedim. This, by the way, is first introduced to us during the fourth day of creation, where Yahweh speaks of the greater and lesser luminaries and of the role that they play relative to fulfilling the Moedim, the restoring witnesses to the eternal testimony associated with the annual meetings. Pesach, Matzah, Bukurim, Shavuot, Teruah, Kippurim, and Sukkah. But you might say, wait a minute, Dod, you've just said only fulfilled the first three. He did with Yahweh. That is correct. Pesach, Matzah, and Bukurim. Those enable the benefits of the covenant. There were two luminaries, a greater luminary and a lesser luminary. My job is to cultivate the Shavuot harvest. Also, to cultivate the gleaning of the Teruah harvest, and then to serve as the Adama Parah, the man of the earth who is fruitful that following day, so that it cleanses this mortal remnant of Yisrael, so they are prepared for their kings, their messiahs, the very Son of God's homecoming on Kippurim with Yahweh to usher in the millennial kingdom on Sukkah, so that we celebrate 1,000 years of the earth restored to the conditions we experienced in Eden. That is God's story. Those are the benefits that are being offered to us. That is why Dod fulfilled the Moedim. That is why I'm bringing you this story so that you might benefit from it. And it also explains why Yahweh delivered upon his promise 7 times. Therefore, there would be 7 affirmations of this vow. Dod not only worked with Yahweh, as we know, to fulfill Pesach, Matzah, and Bukurim. And by the way, this conclusion that he fulfilled these things, while it is the greatest discovery in human history, the most meaningful, the only one that can produce eternal life and provide access directly to the creator of the universe, which is quite a reward, makes it exceedingly valuable. Dod and Yahweh have offered so much more. You see, it is Dod's herald that is cultivating the Shavua harvest of those who have taken advantage of what Dod and Yahweh did on Pesach, Matzah, and Bukurim to make it possible for them to be part of the covenant family. And they are harvested, taken literally from this troubled world that we're in here on earth, where just everything is devolving around us. It's become a death spiral, and it's going to get much worse by 2026, and it's May 22nd of 2026 when this Shavua harvest will occur 7 years before Dod's return. So even Shavua is part of these promises because it's an outgrowth of what Dod did. It's a result of what Dod did with Yahweh. So is the Teruah harvest 7 years later, because the Teruah is the harvest is the final harvest of the covenant family of those who have availed themselves again of Pesach, Matzah, and Bukurim, and what Dod accomplished in them. It is then when the Adam of Parah, this bloody red man of the earth who is fruitful, will lay down his life as the final sacrifice to cleanse and prepare the adulterous woman that has been Yisrael, so that she can be betrothed again to her king. And so that when Dod and Yahweh return on this day, October 2nd, 6:22 p.m. in Jerusalem as the sun sets on October 2nd, that they will be prepared to meet their king and live in the presence of their God. And at this moment, it is Dod who will enter a restored, not just a restored, it's a magnificent home for Yahweh's name, likely built out of light. And he will go to the original mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant, the Kiporeth. And there he will anoint it in consistent with the Torah's instructions regarding the reconciliation of Yisrael. And thereupon, the remnant of God's people will be prepared to enter the millennial Shabbat, where Dod will serve as king. All 7 Moed Mikre were either fulfilled by Dod, will be fulfilled by Dod, or made possible because of Dod, or enable Dod's return and the glorious homecoming. It is 7 times over. There would be 7 affirmations of this vow, you know, and it is exceedingly important that we know that while Pesach, Matzah, and Bukurim were fulfilled in the Yobel year of 4000 Yah, which is 33 CE, exactly 1,000 years after this song became the cornerstone of what's called the temple, the first one built on Mount Moriah in the city of Dod, that after fulfilling Pesach, Matzah, and Bukurim, Dod now in heaven is watching as his herald prepares for a fruitful Shavua and Teruah harvest, and then prepares the remnant of Yisrael for his return on Kippurim to enjoy Sukkah. They're all, and all of this is as a father and son team. And God is giving us the opportunity to be a brother of the king. We do not have to look beyond the next word to appreciate one of the things that made Yah's favorite son extraordinarily special. Yahweh presents Dod as Ebed Annie, my associate and co-worker who serves with me. In this turn, this reinforces something which should be obvious to all of us. Rather than imposing himself upon his creation, God searches out individuals who will respond to his invitation, allowing him to work through those individuals for the benefit of all. Patiently and parentially, he prepares his children so that we can be about our Father's business. Dode did this better than anyone. Moshe was marvelous at it. I'm doing my best. It is one of the most remarkable and endearing aspects of God's nature that he chooses to work through his children. And well, that's all true. It is especially so with Dode. During the most important acts in human history, particularly relevant to man's relationship with God, Dode was there. He fulfilled Passover with his Bashar corporal body serving as the sacrificial lamb. During unyeasted breads, Dode's nefesh soul carried the guilt of every covenant member into Sheol, hell. He left it there, never to be seen again. Therefore, he perfected our souls. And then he was reunited with the Ruach Kodesh, the set-apart spirit, and escorted back to Shamayim, where he became the Bakor, the firstborn son, to receive the benefits of Bakurim, firstborn children. It's all obvious. It's all there for us. So I was going to say earlier, one of the things that tells us that Dode did these things is to read the 22nd and the 88th Mizmor. In them, what you will find is the only eyewitness account of Roman crucifixion written by a prophet. And it is Dode writing in first person 1,000 years before he would endure it, 500 years before Rome even existed, 700 years before Rome invented crucifixion with nails where his hands and feet were pierced. He described exactly, scientifically, how crucifixion kills, what the Romans would do to him. And then he explained, both in the 22nd Mizmor and again in the 88th, how his soul would enter Sheol and be separated from Yahweh to perfect us, carrying our guilt there and depositing it there, never to be seen again. These are first-person accounts by the Messiah, the Messiah, about specifically what he would do to fulfill Pesach, Matzah, and Bikurim. It shouldn't have been a mystery. This discovery should have been known and proclaimed long before I came upon it, and I'm sharing it with you. We are enriched, we are enlightened, not only on Bikurim as firstborn children, but God does so again on Shavua as we are harvested, and on trumpets, on Teruah, the beginning of Teruah as the sun sets on Jerusalem. That night, it's a September 23rd in 2030, there will be a final river of light of covenant souls going from the tragic events that have transpired here on earth as the time of Israel's troubles finally comes to a conclusion. And then the next day, the Adam of Parah, this productive and bloody red man of the earth, is sacrificed finally to purify the remnant of Israel. As Yahweh has Eliah be the master of ceremonies, and he unleashes torrents of water from underneath an already cleansed Temple Mount that cascade off the Temple Mount throughout Jerusalem and Israel to cleanse the land and purify God's remaining remnant, while washing away all the rubbish and those who have come to terrorize his people, all while he ignites this massive fire with billowing flames and with light flickering up to the heavens. it'll be the greatest show on earth. And even at that moment, for the first time amongst his people in 3,480 years, God's booming and resounding voice will break forth out of heaven, encouraging his people to come clean, to take advantage of what we have accomplished together. Once again, a collaboration between God and someone he has chosen to work with him. So our focus, my focus, is on heralding the lives and lyrics of the Chosen One and of his role in collaborating with Yahweh to perfect us so that we are able to be reconciled into the covenant family, and that this final remnant of Yisrael at the end of the time of Jacob's troubles, 2,000 years from this sacrifice, are ready to meet their maker. Less than 9 years from now, where Dod will be the king of shelters. Now, it's a lot to learn from one name, one noun, a couple of verbs, and two titles. But nonetheless, here it is again. And I think we could make a banquet of this statement. We could celebrate life through this statement. This is a more exciting revelation than going on a journey to Mars. I have established, creating through separation, the Bereth covenant for the family and home through Ani Bashar, my chosen one, the person I prefer and have decided upon. I have sworn an oath to, and I will affirm this promise 7 times over to Dod, the beloved, the Ibidani, the authorized agent, and my co-worker who serves on my behalf. Now, recognizing that the following pronouns, prepositions, conjugations were integral to these verbs and nouns, the Hebrew in the Hebrew text, let's see what we can learn from the next 6. Furthermore, as an eternal witness to the restoring testimony, ad olam, to provide never-ending guidance on reconciliation throughout time, I will prepare and will establish, I will appoint, equip, develop, support, and sustain your offspring and that which you sow. Kun zera hata. In addition, I will construct a home for your throne and your seat of honor on behalf of all generations throughout time. Mizmor, lyrics to be sung, Psalm 89:4, and the hits just keep on coming. This is the ultimate flood of enlightenment. This is the flashlight the size of the sun for us to understand. So further, in addition to everything we've just learned, which is mind-bending and expansive, God says, furthermore, of Dod, as an eternal witness to the restoring testimony, I will prepare and establish your offspring and that which you sow. The seeds that Dod sowed are the words of his psalms. His offspring are the covenant members that benefit from Pesach, Matzah, and Bukurim and becoming children of God. This is so powerful. So as an eternal witness to the restoring testimony, ad olam, I will prepare and establish your offspring and that which you sow, zera ani. Zera is also the basis, the verb zera, to sow seeds, to produce offspring, to be productive, happens to be the operative verb of Zeruah, which I am convinced is Dod's most important title. Yes, he is Yahweh's Mashiach, and people fascinate over that term Mashiach. He is our shepherd, Ra'ah. He is Malak, King of Israel and King of the universe. He is the Ben of El, the Son of God, God's Bakor, firstborn, God's Bashar, chosen one. He has so many wonderful things, but the most important title afforded Dod, one afforded two other lesser men, is Zeruah. And while Zeruah has a number of terms, another meanings, a strong arm is one of them, protective ram is one of them, one who cultivates a fruitful harvest is another, all based on Zerah. But the primary definition of Zerah and Zeruah from the Torah is sacrificial lamb. Dod was the sacrificial lamb of Pesach. He was the Zeruah. And it is based on this verb, Zerah. So if you want to be an offspring, a beneficiary, a child of the covenant, now you know how that is possible. It is through the eternal witness and the restoring testimony of Yahweh's chosen one, his co-worker, his son, our Messiah, Dod David. Then in addition, I will construct a home, Abana, for your throne and seat of honor, Keshe Ata, on behalf of all generations through all time. The prophecy, my favorite prophecy of all time, is found in 2 Samuel. Samuel means listen to God. 7. And it is about building homes, who builds them, who lives in them. And this prophecy concludes by Yahweh telling us that not only is Dod his son and that he is Dod's father, but that he is establishing the seat of honor, the throne of Dod, forevermore. Well, doesn't that mean there can't be a replacement Messiah, as in Iesus Christus, Jesus Christ? That there can't be a replacement Messiah, as in Bar Kokhba? Doesn't this mean that the returning Messiah is well known? Doesn't this mean that the Son of God, that title belongs to a single man? Doesn't it mean that we have but one Savior and Dod is that individual? Doesn't it mean that of all the people Yahweh worked with and all the things that he achieved, and the single most important thing to him, which is the Bereth covenant, he accomplished it through Dod and through no one else? Doesn't it mean that the Moed and Mikre were fulfilled through Dod? Doesn't it mean that to advance any religion to the exclusion of Dod, to rob him of his accolades, of his titles, of his achievements, leads people astray and away from their salvation? Dod's seat of honor with Yahweh was earned. It was deserved. And even if it wasn't earned and deserved, God created the universe. He conceived life. If this is the man that he chose to do all these wonderful things with, God's entitled to treat him as his firstborn son, such that he becomes the one who inherits God's authority. Even if Dod did nothing, God's entitled to make those choices. And yet, rather than doing nothing, Dod was the most prolific of the prophets. When you consider all of the Mizmor Psalms that he wrote and all of his Proverbs, Mashal. And yet, Dod united Yisrael, God's people. And yet, Dod fought 66 defensive battles on behalf of his people and won all of them. And yet, Dod lived the life that was the exemplar for us to follow. He is the living embodiment of Yisrael. He came after volunteering to do it, to suffer the agony of Pesach and Matzah so that we could enjoy Bikurim. He has earned our respect. He has earned his seat of honor. And God is acknowledging it. and for us to do anything that deprives Dode of his accomplishments and their value to all of us is an enemy of God and has no place at his table. This is the most profoundly important truth in the universe. Nothing anyone can tell you is more meaningful than what I'm sharing with you now. And this isn't for a little while. This is forever. Yahweh made this statement, this declarative statement about Dode 3,000 years ago. And it endures for all time. He made this vow to Dode, and he will honor it. And if we want to be there to enjoy this with him, to sit beside him, next to him on his throne, if we want to enjoy him singing these songs, if we want to enjoy his intellect and his marvelous oratory, if we want to go off and explore the universe with the boldest, most courageous, most insightful man to ever live, we can do so with Father and Son. That is the invitation that is being made to us here. So Dode not only provides everlasting testimony through the lyrics of his songs and also the Mashal Proverbs, but also his life serves as a restoring witness. What he has sown, we can reap. And in the covenant, we become his heirs. Oh, there is so much to share. We're only part of the way through the 89th of the fourth verse of the 89th song. There's so much more to learn. But rather than making one program that is 20 hours long, I'm going to stop here. We'll take a breath and we'll come back to you at another time and share the third installment of Dode's song, the greatest lyrics ever written about the greatest life ever lived. I am Craig Wynn, and this has been the Yahweh Blog.